with more badass liberal talk. Fart Cop Radio.
Did you hear what NBC did to their viewers the night of the final Friends? I didn't know about this till days later, and I'm shocked, more than shocked, I'm outraged that they would do this. The sons of you-know-what at NBC. Lately, I've been complaining. I tape a lot of stuff off TV. I have more than a dozen videotapes. And that requires everybody to play by the rules. Don't start your show at 8:55. That just messes old Bart up, and I'm not in a position to be messed up. It doesn't help me. And it insults my intelligence. And when it happens, it makes me very... No, I'm sorry, that's Godfather. But they start the shows early. We can't watch the previews for one... You know, when the show ends, you want to watch the previews for next week? No, we can't do that. We got to switch over if there's a show on NBC... Because they're effing with their viewers. Now, why did they do that? Let me tell you what they did to Friends. Friends, it was big night on TV. They had something else, something going on. They had the big Survivor night, the big Friend of the night, the big something else. Millions of people set their VCRs to record from, well, in Tulsa it would be 7 to 9. I don't know where you live. You might live in Pago Pago, so... Anyway, in Tulsa, they're on from 7 to 9, so that's what the people set their VCRs for. But the show ended at 9:05. Those sons of you-know-what. They intentionally screwed millions and millions of people. Think of all the families or couples, whatever, single, lonely men. They got home, whatever, they set their VCR, they went out for the night out of town, something, something. They get back. They sit down to watch the Grand Friends finale after 10 years, the long-awaited emotional big goodbye. So the first hour of clips was really good. They didn't spend a whole lot of talking about it. They just basically showed some of the funniest moments over the years, and it was very, very good. You can't watch that hour and not laugh out loud 30 or 40 times. You're just gonna. Then the big show started Tulsa time at 8 o'clock. And at 9 o'clock, when all the VCRs across the country shut off, Rachel's still on the damn plane. And Ross is running around the airport saying, "Where is she? Where is she? Where is she?" What a terrible thing for NBC to do. And they did it on purpose. You know they did. And I'll tell you why they did it on purpose. The following Tuesday, the DVD went on sale of that same show. So they intentionally screwed all these people, millions of people. They just screwed them hard just so they could get $15 out of whatever the DVD cost a few days later. This is what NBC does to their customers. NBC should be ashamed of themselves. If it wasn't for the occasional Vegas or West Wing, I would recommend avoiding NBC altogether. They are a whore network, starting with Tim Russert. Starting with their crooked news division that is so pro-Bush you can cut butter with it. Then you get it in the promo department. This started back with Homicide. Homicide was, at the time, I think, the best show on TV. It was before The Sopranos, before The West Wing, before a whole lot of shows. And they would intentionally, the Homicide shows were done with a lot of dignity, with a lot of just the highest production values, the best acting, the best writing. It was just a damn good show. But then what NBC would do, they would show one guy ask a question, and then they would show another guy answer seemingly his question, but the other guy was in a different scene. The two of them never had that conversation. But NBC, being the whores that they are, they would splice these two remotely, nothing to do with each other's scenes, and splice them together to make you think something was going to happen. Oh, that's low. That's low. NBC is a whore network, and we don't like them. All right, what else we got? I'll bet you didn't know. If you go to the Skyline Guest Ranch in Telluride, Colorado, you can ride the real Seabiscuit. Did you know that? I did not know that. Telluride, Colorado, quote, "Telluride is so beautiful, I moved here. Skyline so beautiful, I'd like to move in. as far as dude ranches goes, this is the best. A huge log lodge situated in the mountains with cabins surrounded by a lake. Oh, I'll tell you. We've been to Telluride many times, 6-8 times, and it just doesn't... It's so nice. That's where if you have your $100 million, you have a house there. Jack Nicholson has a house there. Goldie Hawn has, you know, just whatever. If you've got all the money in the world, you have a house in Aspen. And the house in Aspen costs so much, you got to pay millions and millions just for the lot. And remember, you're out in the woods. Back to the story. Oh, those cabins weren't surrounded by a lake. They were scattered around a lake. Bark Up Radio regrets the error. Try a horseback trip to Skyline's High Camp Lodge in the great woods of aspens, pines, and spruces. You might even get to ride a movie star. Isn't that tempting? Seabiscuit, parentheses, one of the horses used in the film, recently arrived as a new trail horse. So, you want to go to SkylineGuestRanch.com and ask, you might get to ride Seabiscuit in the woods of aspens, pines, and spruces. How exciting is that? What else we got? Miramax Honcho's Bob and Harvey Weinstein are buying the rights to Michael Moore's controversial Fahrenheit 9/11, which Disney blocked Miramax from releasing. Oh, little sidebar. It is 9/11. It is not 911. 911 is what you use to call the police. 9/11 was the day Bush went to sleep and told the Air National Guard to stand down. There's a big difference. Remember, 911, what you do in case of an emergency. 9/11 is a thing that happened on America's worst day. So, oh, there's that damn Ann Coulter again. Hold on. I tell that crazy bitch Ann Coulter not to call here. Mrs. Bart might suspect something. Actually, she was calling to complain about that little joke we had in the last issue. A little Jeopardy joke about who is Deep Throat. Well, she deserves it. I know people, well, you do too, but I can't point out who she is, but she is deep, deep in the Republican deep, deep stuff. She knows everybody. She is a deep, deep operative. She told me to deal with Ann Coulter seriously. All jokes aside, she really, really is a monstrous first date. Who was the other one? Kellyanne Pittsfact... Yep. Kellyanne Fitzpatrick, she goes by another name now, which is probably good in her case. One thing them women get to do, you get a reputation as the biggest slut in town. Hey, you get married. Kellyanne who? Kellyanne Jones. Oh, never heard of her. Must be a nice girl. Wanted to mention, Denny Crane. In very brief, there's a new show. They folded the practice last Sunday, but they're going to take the four, they think, best people from that show and create Fleet Street. I think Fleet is a street in Boston, and that's probably going to be where they open up their shingle. But William Shatner, this character he does on The Practice and is going into Fleet Street, it is the funniest thing ever. If you like those singing Priceline commercials, I mean, he is just so over the top, but he is just... Who knew when he was doing Star Trek that he could be this damn funny? And I mentioned it before, but the airplane movies, he was spectacular. I guess it was Airplane 2. But he is so damn funny, and he's playing this lawyer with a slight case of Alzheimer's. So that puts him in a position where he's always saying inappropriate things, and he just does it so well. I can't imagine any other actor. I know William Shatner is not a great actor, but this part is just like putting on pants for him. It is spectacular. He is just as funny as he can be. Anytime he's on the screen, I mentioned earlier, I have to do 2-3 things at a time. I have to stop doing the other things when he starts talking, because you know it's going to be great. But look for that. William Shatner, Fleet Street. Too bad the damn newspaper couldn't have like 4 or 5 interesting things all on the same page. You got to go through 8, 9, 10 pages, and then you find one good story. You got another 10 pages, here's another good story. Continual media coverage of prison abuse puts U.S. at risk. Here we got another guy who loves the illegally never elected usurper bastard, and he doesn't want, since he's had this 4-year honeymoon, these people are so shocked when they actually see something that might hurt Bush in the paper. They're just shocked. The prison abuse scandal has been exposed. There are ongoing investigations, and there's every reason to believe new procedures will be put in place to prevent further violations. What a pile of horse hockey. Oh, my God. Well, let's get deeper into it. With that in mind, what good can come from continually showing pictures of the abuse or interviewing Democrats whose criticism of our military objection? They are not criticizing the military. They are criticizing Bush's instructions, Bush's and Rummy's instructions. No holds barred. Do whatever you want. Screw the Geneva Convention. We're going to do it whatever way you want. These people aren't human, so if you want to play with them like toys, that's fine with us. This is bull for them to say that we're critical of the military. And I know some of you are. So a lot of you Democrats, you just slay me with this. The military are all evil. You just slay me with that kind of talk. Please don't throw this election by screaming the military is evil. Democrats whose criticism of our military and administration sounds more like that of an enemy country rather than our own. Ooh, we're traitors. Anybody who said something bad about Bush is a traitor. Ooh. Could it be that the media are more interested in generating profits from the scandal than our troop safety? No, not our media. They don't want profits. They're only here for the truth. They're only here to educate and to clarify and be the watchdog for Bush. Are Democrats so obsessed with their political agenda that they're blinded to the dangers they're creating for our soldiers? Oh, yeah, we're so blind. Anyone who would criticize Bush must want the soldiers dead. It's logic. It just figures. Our enemies are using the American media to their advantage. The ultimate result of the coverage is that it will feed the rage of terrorists and place all Americans even more at risk. Bonnie O'Neill, Newport Beach, probably a millionaire. So, again, it's the media's fault that they're torturing the prisoners and word got out. It's all the media's. It can't be Bush's fault. It can't be the Democrats' fault because they're powerless entirely. And since it can't be Bush's fault and it can't be the soldiers' fault, and it can't be the Democrats' fault, there's no one left but the press. We might as well blame that duck over there. Yeah, that duck over there, he's the one that caused all the trouble, because it can't be Bush. And I love this line, what good can come from continually showing pictures of the abuse interviewing Democrats? Well, gee, what good can come from 5 years of Monica? What good can come from 10 years of chasing Clinton's cock? It was all fun and games back then. That was all they had to worry about. We had it so good in the 90s under Clinton that they took 700 FBI agents and put them on chasing women in Arkansas to see if any of them might want to make some money selling a story about Bill Clinton. Those same 700 could have been checking out terrorism stuff. They could have. Remember, Bush is trying to spin the story now that, we knew all along how bad Bin Laden was. Well, funny. They were screaming, why didn't you retaliate for the coal? If you knew that Saddam was such a danger back then, why did the Gingrich and the Republicans pull these 700 agents off of their duty to chase Clinton's cock? Why weren't they put on terrorism? Everybody says it was so black and white. Everybody knew. They offered Bin Laden to Bill Clinton on a silver platter. Oh, and there was chocolate and nuts and cherry on top, too. And Clinton said, oh, no. I love terrorists. No, we can't bring terror to justice. That would be wrong. But no, that isn't how it works. Clinton was chasing a terrorist, firing cruise missiles into Sudan, trying to catch Bin Laden when he could. And the whole time, all they wanted to talk about was Monica. Monica, Monica, Monica. That's what the Republican Party stood for the last decade. And now, this crazy Bonnie O'Neill, she wants to know what good can come from the showing the abuse. Well, A, might stop the abuse, and B, why do we have to put up with 5 years of Monica and 10 years of Clinton's cock if we can't put up with, 3 weeks of the torture that Rummy and Bush ordered our people to carry out? You know they're going to end up screwing those little guys. I kind of hate to see that. If they came to me and said, Bart, these guys that we're delivering you, they're the coldest, worst of the bunch, and they're real defiant. I don't know how you're going to do it. Somehow you're going to have to break them, Bart. You're going to have to think of some way. Well, as a matter of fact, Bart, I got some tips for you. In this wacko culture, I saw a thing. It's on today's page, but who knows when today is. It'd be probably issue 1315. And I'm sorry, this is going to be a little gross, so if you've got kids or something, hold on. But they said, these Yes, these NBC employees, which were Iraqis, they were somehow picked up by the military, our military, and they started putting the abuse on them. And they said they did two things to them. One, they made them stick a finger in their anus and then lick it. And then B, the terrible one, they made them put their shoe in their mouth. Now, hey, I'm sorry, but between a shoe and a finger, I'm a shoe-sucking son of a gun. You know, the idea if a bully made me put my shoe in my mouth, I guess I'd look kind of stupid, but I wouldn't go hang myself over it. But apparently over there, oh, he had a shoe in his mouth. Oh, well, he might as well not even try to go on. The wacky culture they got, apparently, if someone takes a picture of you with pink panties on your head or in a pyramid and shows it to your neighbors, now you're nobody anymore. Apparently, they were given these orders to break these guys using sexual humiliation. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but you got to remember, over there, and I know over there covers a lot of countries, saw this on 60 Minutes last Sunday. If your daughter is raped, say your daughter's coming home from school, and three guys pull her into the bushes and rape her. Now the father kicks her out of the house because she's tainy good, she's no good anymore. It's not the girl's fault if she got raped, but that's how they think over there. They think stupid. If an innocent girl's, you know, I thought about this. If an innocent girl is raped, then she's no longer of value to her own family. Her own father tells her to go to hell, throws her out of the house. At best, you know, they may just kill her if she's been raped. That's a pretty wacky way to deal with a crime victim. But think what that creates. Say there's a 12-year-old virgin. Now, let's make it a little older. 15-year-old virgins. There's a 15-year-old virgin in my neighborhood. And I see the girl and I tell her, hey, I want you to wash my car and paint my hut. And if you don't do that, I'm going to rape you. And once I rape you, your whole family and your whole neighborhood, your school, your religion, your clergy, everybody, you're just worthless to them. So if you don't wash my car and paint my hut, I'm going to rape you and now you're worthless. Think of the blackmail. Every woman in the Muslim world, apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, call the BART phone, send me an email, but apparently every woman over there is such crap to be dealt with like something to scrape off your shoe. John Lennon said in the 70s, woman is the nigger of the world. I think he got that right. America is slowly has overcome their anti-female prejudice to a degree. But in the Arab world, they're still hundreds of years behind us. But I just don't understand I know logic, the religion is always a problem. You know me, it always is going to get back to that. If you do something that's absolutely crazy, and you're going to do it again and again and again, it's probably your religion that caused that. So their religion tells them a raped woman ain't worth crap, so just throw her out of the house, don't have anything to do with her, get rid of her, scrape her off your shoe, flush her down a toilet. Oh, you know, I know some people from India. Do you know what they do in India? What do they call this? There's a name for it. It's might be called a kitchen divorce. Maybe this isn't true for every family in India. But the people I know from India, they use a lot of cooking oil. They buy cooking oil like a restaurant. They buy it in 5-gallon jugs. And maybe if it's a big extended family, they buy it in 40 or 50-gallon drums. Regular old, I guess, Wesson cooking oil kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm talking about the eating oil, not kerosene. And so what they do, a man gets tired of his wife. He pours this cooking oil on her and lights her. And then the police, of course, she dies. The police show up and say, what happened? He says, oh, crazy bitch, spill oil, fire. You know, of course, they don't talk like they talk in Indian. The police and the coroners and the inspectors and that, they all look at each other and say, well, crazy bitch, she should have been more careful. They just murder their wives over there because a woman is so totally useless and worthless. Of course, if you want to have children, now she's the bearer of all the future, you know, sure. But then once you have a few kids, screw her. Set her on fire, throw her out the window. They do that over in India. They do that apparently in the Middle East. If you're raped, you're worth nothing. What the hell kind of people are we dealing with? It's that illogic, apparently, that made sexually humiliating them a, quote, good idea. Now, we've had this semi-ongoing torture discussion. What if they come to me and they say, Bart, we have to break this guy. See the guy with the red shoes? I don't know if they're wearing red shoes over there, but I had to pick one out. He knows where the stockpiles are. He knows where the planning guys are, the guys that are planning the next bomb, the next road bomb that's going to kill the next 20 Marines. He knows where that is. and we know how to get the information out of them, but we're busy. We got lots of detainees. We want you to soften them up first, and here's how you do it. You take his pants off, you make him play with himself for the camera, and then you explain to him we're going to show this around his neighborhood so he can never go home, so he's got nothing to look forward to. He either gives us what we want to know, or we're going to have, you know, the giant dog have sex with him. Hell, that would scare anybody, but in this culture, oh, if word got out that you had, there's a photograph of you with pink panties on your head, you might as well just shoot yourself, dude. Tying this all up, crowd does the wave. They're going to hang this on the little guys. They're going to hang this on that girl in the photo, pointing at the guys and all that. But if they told the guys, if they told the grunts, sexually humiliate these guys, if you do that, you'll be doing your job. You'll be softening these guys up. We only want to spend an hour with each guy before we shoot him. So we don't want to spend the first hour trying to break him. We want you to break him. We want you to hand him to us broken so we can get the work done. We're in a hurry. We're at war. You're doing this for your country. George Bush, la, 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 and on. That's real possible. In that context, the grunts and the pitchers are completely innocent. And we got Rummy and the illegal usurper in Washington saying, oh, we're so totally shocked by this. When I think we've seen proof in the last few days, Rummy gave the order in the first place, that S.O.B.
Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First they're guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. Give me the hell away.
This is not a pansy liberal show. It's Bart Cop Radio.